Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, February 21st. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD Board's Focus Back on Academics. With superintendent search completed, weekend retreat is all about student outcomes. By Stuart Doreen. The Midland ISD Board turned its attention back to academics during its board retreat Saturday. With a superintendent search out of the way, the board had the opportunity to train to be a team of eight, seven board members plus the superintendent. There was also plenty of conversation about academics, from how much weight to put into Lone Star governance to what next year's Texas Education Agency rankings might look like, to how the district might need to hit the reset button on accountability measures. The superintendent search that delivered Stephanie Howard from Crane ISD and the beginning of community members looking at facility needs had received attention, but Board President Brian Murray said it was nice to put student outcomes front and center. While we didn't take our eye off the ball, we haven't been focused on the ball, and I think it's time for us as a school board to get back on academics, Murray said. It's what's important, the student outcomes and how we're going to progress this year. And it's why we're all here. Bits and pieces were mentioned at one time or another while the board met inside the Midland Chamber of Commerce boardroom. Members of the team of eight mentioned the district's need to investigate the high-quality instructional materials like those used nearly two decades ago, the need for a clear curriculum and consistent instruction for teachers, the way the district handles promotion from one grade to another, and discipline issues and their impact on student outcomes. Ultimately, the most time was reserved for Lone Star governance and how the board can use the information to track and then show progress being made. They talked about how the state was set to change its accountability grades and that Midland ISD might see steps taken back because of less emphasis on growth and more impact from other factors where the district currently struggles, including student performance at the secondary level. A decision was made to review those scores that come out next fall and use that as a new baseline for the district. When the district resets its goals, it can also look at other ways the district tracks its standing. It was mentioned that a metric may show students hitting a mark at a 50% clip, and how that might not say much about the community's expectations. Howard also told the board that other metrics will be brought in, PSAT scores, percent of students taking dual credit courses, etc., to truly track academics inside Midland ISD. Murray said the board identified the need for progress at the secondary levels during the review of former Superintendent Angelica Ramsey. We've got to prepare the community for what that looks like and how there may be a change, Murray said, of rankings that showed Midland ISD to be a B-ranked school district in 2021-22. But the work is not changing, and we still expect to see growth from where we were last year. That growth may not be reflected in the grade because the way the grade is changing, but we expect that growth. This article is entitled City Council to Gather for Planning Workshop by Stuart Doreen. The Midland City Council will have a planning workshop Tuesday at Bush Convention Center. The agenda item on the City of Midland website states that the seven council members will meet with city staff to discuss city governance, management, operations, policies, protocols, strategic planning, and priorities. Issues discussed could be related to streets, roads, and water and sewer infrastructure, water supply and resources, parks and recreation, community services, public health and safety, land use and development, economic development, personnel, airports technology, solid waste management, real property acquisition and disposition, and oil and gas development and regulation. Typically, the Council hears reports from department directors about accomplishments from the past year and needs for the upcoming year and beyond. The City Council may develop and prioritize actions and goals in connection with the foregoing matters, according to the agenda item. Midland Mayor Lori Blong said she expected the annual City Council retreat workshop will center on discussions of strategic planning, governance, and operating protocols for the City Council and senior city staff. My hope is that we will work together toward increased effectiveness as a team, with a view of our council as the city's board of directors, Blong wrote in an email. The full-day workshop is an excellent opportunity for us to collectively leave the politics of elections behind, to get down to the business of good governance as a team. The workshop is scheduled to begin at 9 a.m. This article is entitled, Permian Basin Gives, an Opportunity to Provide to Those Who Help. Event has raised $4.202 million since its inception in 2020. By Stuart Doreen. Permian Basin Gives is back. On Tuesday, residents in Midland and across the Permian Basin will be able to give to their favorite nonprofit organization during a one-day event encouraging residents to create meaningful impact through nonprofits that serve the region. During the three Permian Basin Gives events going back to 2020, $4.202 million has been raised. And Laurie Johnson, director of the Nonprofit Management Center, said the goal this year is $1.245 million. She added that there are 125 organizations participating. The event started with a kickoff telethon Monday night, but the online portals will be available for all organizations on Tuesday as well. Every donation matters, Johnson told the Reporter Telegram. The idea of Permian Basin Gives happened in the summer of 2020, when the COVID pandemic restricted face-to-face fundraising opportunities. Fundraisers had to be canceled, but revenue still needed to be raised for operations and to provide services that Permian Basin residents require. The Permian Basin Gives concept allows nonprofits to increase their respective donor bases as more people feel comfortable giving what they can. We want to get them in the mindset of being able to donate, Johnson said. People who cannot give a lot can know their donations will multiply with other donations made. The Abel Hanger Foundation is a sponsor of Permian Basin Gives. More details can be found online at permianbasingives.org. Participating organizations. 311 Ministries, Addie's Hope, Agape Counseling Services, Alpine Christian School, Alpine Humane Society, Alpine Public Library, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, American Heart Association, Aphasia Center of West Texas, Archway Outreach, Arts Council of Midland, Basin Dream Center for Orphans, Basin PBS, Basin Theater Works, Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Permian Basin, Boys and Girls Club of the Permian Basin, Breaking Bread Ministries, Buckner Children and Family Services, Bush Tennis Center, Casa de Amigos, CASA of the Permian Basin Area, Inc., CASA of West Texas, Child Evangelism Fellowship of West Texas, Midland Basin Chapter, Centers for Children and Families, Chosen Ministry, Christmas in Action, Circle 6 Baptist Camp, COM Aquatics, Inc., Communities in Schools of the Permian Basin, Community Children's Clinic, Crime Stoppers of Midland, Inc., Crisis Center of West Texas, Dog Rescue R Us, Ector County Library, Education Foundation of Odessa, Family Promise of Midland, Fix West Texas, Food Pantry of Jeff Davis County, For Midland, Fostering Restoration, Friends of the Jeff Davis County Library, Friends of the Marfa Public Library, Friendship House, Gifts of Hope, Inc., Girl Scouts of the Desert Southwest, Grand Companions Humane Society, Greater Ideal Family Life Center, Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center, Healthy City, HEART, Helping Hands of Midland, High Sky Children's Ranch, Hillcrest School, I-20 Wildlife Preserve and Jenna Welch Nature Study Center, Jesus House, Odessa, Jubilee Center of Midland, Junior Achievement of the Permian Basin, Kairos Outside Prison Ministry of Midland, Keep Midland Beautiful, Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, Luke 22:32 Ministries, Make-A-Wish, Manor Park, Marathon Parent-Teacher Organization, Marathon Public Library, Meals on Wheels of Odessa, Midland African American Roots Historical Cultural Arts Council, Midland Baptist Crisis Center, Midland Cat Wranglers, Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center, Midland College Foundation, Midland Education Foundation, Midland Energy Library, Midland Festival Ballet, Midland Habitat for Humanity, Midland Humane Coalition, Midland Palette Club Arts Center, Midland Rape Crisis and Children's Advocacy Center, Midland Storytelling Festival, Midland Teen Court, Inc., Midland Young Life, Mission Agape, Mission Center Adult Day Service, MSS, Museum of the Southwest, Nonprofit Management Center of the Permian Basin, Odessa College Foundation, Odessa Crime Stoppers, One Accord for Kids, Opportunity Tribe, Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center, Permian Basin Honor Flight, Permian Basin Mission Center, Permian Basin Moms of Multiples, Permian Basin Opera, Permian Basin Petroleum Museum, Permian Basin Regional Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Permian Basin Rehabilitation Center, Pride Center, West Texas, Rays of Hope, Recording Library of West Texas, Reflection Ministries of Texas, Ronald McDonald House Charities of the Southwest, Safe Place of the Permian Basin, Salvation Army of Midland, Samaritan Counseling Center, Senior Life Midland, SHARE, Sibley Nature Center, Something More to Explore Mobile Planetarium, Spectrum of Solutions, Starlight Therapeutic Riding Center, Sunshine House, Inc., T. Teen Challenge Adult Centers of Texas, Inc., Tenacious Woman Ministries, Texas Baptist Home for Children, The Attic Foster Network, The Field's Edge, The Horse Center, Inc., The Junior League of Midland, Inc., The Springboard Center, Thriving United, United Way of Midland, United Way of Odessa, West Texas Food Bank, West Texas Gifts of Hope, West Texas Symphony, Young Women's Leadership Academy. This article is entitled MISD. All Surveys Called for Moving Forward with Bond Planning by Stuart Doreen. The Midland ISD Board learned at its regular board meeting on Monday that those attending a meeting about long-range facility planning want to move forward with bond planning. The district held a meeting on February 9th to discuss the work of the Long-Range Facility Planning Committee and provide insight into the work that ultimately led to the recommendations presented to the board in November. The district also noted that the group of 80 Midland ISD staff, students, parents, and community members were provided information regarding past and possible future financial information as it relates to facility construction. All who completed the survey have indicated support in moving forward with bond planning, according to MISD agenda documents. Editor's note: the Midland ISD meeting ended after deadline. More reports from the meeting will be found at mrt.com and in upcoming editions. This article is entitled Legacy Freshman Student Found to Have Firearm by Stuart Doreen. A legacy freshman high school student was found to be in possession of a firearm Monday, according to Midland ISD. The student was never on the freshman campus as he was taken from a school bus after Midland ISD police received a tip that the student possibly had a handgun. The bus was stopped in the area of Wadley Avenue and Godfrey Street while Midland ISD police searched the bus, backpacks, and students, MISD reported. Police were unable to locate a weapon. The student was then taken into custody by police for a separate reason on a directive to apprehend, according to the district. While in custody at a juvenile detention facility, the student was found to have a handgun in their possession, MISD reported. Midland ISD, in its report, stated that weapons are strictly prohibited on school property and at school events. This includes bringing a weapon onto the bus. Possession of a weapon carries serious legal consequences, according to the district. This is the second report of a gun on MISD property this month. Earlier, Midland ISD reported a student was reported to have a gun in their waistband. The district reacted to that report by having more security at Legacy High School. The next day, February 9th, Midland ISD reported that Legacy High School went into a hold status while Midland ISD police conducted an investigation. The district stated the campus went into a hold status after a student reported to an administrator that they heard a suspect police had been searching for might be on campus. The suspect on February 9th was the same student believed to have had a gun on campus Tuesday, though possession of a weapon has not been confirmed, MISD reported. The safety and security of our students is our utmost priority, MISD reported. We encourage parents to talk with their child about what to do if they suspect a student or anyone else has a weapon on the bus, at school, or at a school event. Students are encouraged to tell an adult immediately. They can also submit tips anonymously at anonymousalerts.com/MidlandISD or www.midlandcrimestoppers.com, or by calling 432-694-8477. This article is entitled "Police Investigating Odessa Vehicle Fatality" by Midland Reporter Telegram. A 23-year-old Andrews man died Sunday after being involved in a collision north of Odessa, according to the Department of Public Safety. DPS reported Monday that Juan Rodriguez died at the scene after the Chevrolet Silverado he was operating was struck by a Chevrolet 2500 pickup traveling the wrong way in the northbound lanes of U.S. Highway 385, around 5 miles north of the city of Odessa. The Chevrolet 2500 was traveling on the wrong side of the roadway, southbound in the northbound lanes of US 385, DPS reported. The Chevrolet Silverado was northbound on US 385 and was struck head-on. An intoxication investigation for the driver of the Silverado is underway, and intoxication manslaughter charges are pending. The accident happened around 11:52 p.m., according to DPS. This article is entitled "West Midland Fire Displaces 13," by the Midland Reporter Telegram. The Midland Fire Department is investigating a fire in West Midland on Monday that displaced 13 residents. The City of Midland reported that at approximately 2:45 p.m., crews with the Midland Fire Department responded to a fire at the Windsor Place Apartments, 1801 North Midland Drive. One person was treated on the scene for smoke inhalation, but no other injuries were reported, the city reported in a release. The fire appears to have started in an upstairs unit, and 12 units were affected by the fire, according to the city. The fire was contained to the attic space and the outside of one unit, the city reported. The fire investigator and code administration are investigating. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, February 21st. John H. Trey Edwards III. John H. Trey Edwards III died February 8th at his home in Southlake, Texas. Trey was born on December 10, 1929, to Jack John H. Edwards, Jr., and Frances Sam Edwards. Trey was preceded in death by his wife, Barbara, and is survived by his three sons, Jay, Lee, and Tom, several grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and his sister, Ellen Edwards Green. Memorials or donations may be made to the John H. Edwards III 51 Memorial Endowed Scholarship, Texas A&M University, at tx.ag/Trey Edwards, or the West Texas Boys Ranch in San Angelo. Mona Joy Patterson Bates. Mona Joy Patterson Bates, age 90, passed peacefully away at her home in the Corriol County countryside on February 13th. Funeral services would be held at 2 p.m. Friday, February 24th at Scott's Funeral Home Chapel. The family will receive visitors 1 hour prior to services at the funeral home. Interment will be at Coffey Cemetery. Joy was born on July 11th, 1932, the 15th of 15 children, to Robert John Marvin Bob Patterson and Belle Moore Patterson in a rural farming community near Turnersville, Texas. On June 22, 1953, she married fellow Corriol County resident Don Bates. Don suddenly passed away in 1991. On June 4, 1999, Joy married Tommy Ross, and the two enjoyed more than 23 years of life together. Joy is preceded in death by her parents, Bob and Belle Patterson, her first husband, Don Bates, and her siblings, Pete Patterson, Bonnie Kilgore, Ted Patterson, Junie Williams, Oma Jean Applegate, Pug Smith, Beau Patterson, Bonnie Patterson, Vic Patterson, Mamie McDonald, Laverne Bates, Joe Patterson, and Dolores Ramsey. She is survived by her husband Tommy Ross and her beloved sister Georgia Arnett. She is also survived by her three children, Brad Bates and his wife Carol of Midland, Shannon Berger and her husband Kent of Midland, and Robin Winfrey and her husband Keith of Fulshear, 8 grandchildren and step-grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren and step-great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, the family has designated that memorials be made to Boys and Girls Club, 2533 East Main Street, Gatesville, Texas, or Pearl Community Center in Gatesville. Ronald Wayne Nickel. Ronald Ronnie Wayne Nickel went to be with his Lord and Savior on February 15th at the age of 68. Funeral services will be held at 5 p.m. February 21st at Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home Chapel in Midland, with a reception immediately following at the branch at NPW. Ronnie was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma on January 15, 1955, to Carolyn and Wayne Nickel. Ronnie is preceded in death by his mother, Carolyn Nickel. Left to hold his memory are his girlfriend, Denise Locke of Midland, his father, Wayne Nickel, and wife, Brenda of Midland, son, Ronnie Crawford, wife, Blandy of Midland, daughter, Shandon Cunningham of Houston, brothers, Jerry Nickel Sr., wife, Laurie Nickel, all of Aubrey, 5 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, February 21st, 2023. Fawcett hopes to open dialogue between city, county, ODC to host joint workshop discussion at Odessa College. The Odessa Development Corporation is set to host the Ector County Commissioner's Court and the Odessa City Council for a joint workshop discussion. This meeting is scheduled to begin at 6 p.m. Tuesday in the Salisbury Conference Room at Odessa College, located at 201 West University Boulevard. The agenda items set to be discussed during the joint meeting include interlocal agreements about Odessa Fire Rescue, Ector County Law Enforcement Center, and the Odessa Animal Shelter. There will also be discussion about the Ector County Assistance District. Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett on Monday morning said he hopes to open dialogue on matters important to both the county and the city. The public expects us to work together on behalf of all citizens, Fawcett said. The ultimate goal is to open up those dialogues. We chose these topics because they impact both parties, but they have also been pushed aside in years previous. No one really wants to address these issues. What I found is that these interlocal agreements and our sales tax agreement are really what's causing the wedge between these two entities. And we really want to break down that wedge to work positively on behalf of all Ector County residents. After discussion about the Ector County Assistance District, Odessa Fire Rescue, Ector County Law Enforcement Center, and the Odessa Animal Shelter, there will be an opportunity for citizens to comment on non-agenda items. This joint meeting is only a workshop, so there will be no action taken on topics discussed. Fawcett said the topic that he's most interested in discussing is the Ector County Assistance District. We want to have a business climate that is expected in our county and in our city to attract new businesses to bring new investments, whether it's in housing or commercial real estate, he said. Those businesses and those citizens need to know what type of services they are going to get, whether it's water or utilities. As far as a timetable for continued discussions between the city and county, Fawcett hopes they can meet a minimum of once a quarter. The city and county have regularly scheduled meetings twice a month throughout the year. Fawcett said he knows a constant communication between the city and county needs to take place. At a bare minimum quarterly, he said about joint workshops moving forward, I still have a lot of other topics to address. This includes the Joint Airport Zoning Board. We should talk about some of our long-term plans, both within the downtown footprint and everywhere else. What does our assets management look like? Their properties, our properties. Can we find some synergies to perhaps partner on a project? Cleaning up, new Bowie head custodian keeping campus tidy. Just 3 weeks into her new job as head custodian at Bowie Middle School, Maria Rodriguez is starting to feel at home. Rodriguez has worked for Ector County ISD for almost 3 years. She was a custodian at Odessa High School before arriving at Bowie. She wasn't sure about her move up at first. I didn't feel like I was ready to come, but when the position was offered to me, I spoke with my boss and he was so positive about everything. He was telling me, go for it, you can do it. That's what gave me the will to come over here and do what I'm doing now, make a change for everybody, Rodriguez said. I had heard that the school was broken down. It didn't have any custodians, but like one or two, that opened my eyes and made me want to make a turnaround here, to make things better at the school. That's what motivated me more, she added. Bowie is supposed to have 7 custodians. Although Bowie is a large campus, it's not as big as OHS. Her staff asks how to handle all the space, but to her, the runs are small. The runs are rooms, hallways, bathrooms, and stairways that are divided up among the custodians. When I worked in the afternoon at OHS, my run was pretty big. Both of my runs were pretty big, so to me, it's not new. To them it is, and they say they're big, but I'm like, no, they're not, and you can do it. You can do the run. If I did it at OHS, you can do it here. I motivate them to keep the runs clean. It keeps them up with the work. It's not so difficult to keep it up, Rodriguez said. There are 3 people working in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. I think we're getting it together. There's a couple of things that do need to get organized and in place, but as time goes by, we will get everything in order where it needs to be. So far, it's good. We haven't had any complaints. My co-workers, they do an amazing job, so I can't complain there either. I'm praying to God that it stays that way and they don't quit on me, Rodriguez said. She and her colleagues work 247 days a year, with 1 week of vacation in December and no spring break. Spring break with no students makes it easier to clean. When I worked at OHS, that helped us get a lot of stuff done, even clean up our areas, work on little things that needed to be done. So it does help a lot when there's no students, Rodriguez said. She added that it was difficult to leave OHS and she misses them. But I'm here for a purpose. I'm trying to make it happen here. I know I did it at OHS. I know I'm a very hard worker, so whatever I did over there, I know I can do it here as well. Like I said, so far it's going really good for us, but yes, I do miss everyone. I miss all of my co-workers over there, Rodriguez said. Initially becoming a head custodian was nerve-wracking because she didn't think she could do it. But, like I said, my boss at OHS, he motivated me so much that after maybe 2 days, I told myself I can do this, I can handle this, and yes, I can, she added. As a head custodian, Rodriguez said, she mainly evaluates co-workers' duties and makes sure all the work is getting done. Because it is a school, we want to make it as presentable as we can, she added. She has to make sure her co-workers are keeping the windows, the floors, and especially the classrooms looking good because that's where the students and teachers are. I'm evaluating everything that they do, making sure the job is getting done, keeping everything organized. I haven't been able to reach that point quite yet, but I will. I know I will. So far, keeping everybody on track and keeping everything clean is one of my main priorities, Rodriguez said. This is Rodriguez's first time working in a school. She was previously in the caregiving field. A friend had applied to the schools and suggested she do so too. Ever since then, I've liked it, and I can't believe 2 years later, I'm now a head custodian. I didn't think I would be in this place where I am now, Rodriguez said. She added that Bowie principal Amy Russell has been kind to her. I love her. She's amazing. She's the sweetest person that I have met so far out of everybody. Not just because she's a principal, but she is sweet, Rodriguez said. Russell said her campus was in need of a head custodian after Christmas break, and the people downtown promoted Rodriguez to her first head custodian job. She came on board fast, with much tears from OHS and well wishes, Russell said in an email. We sat down and went over Bowie's needs. She got to work day one, making sure our campus was as clean and tidy each and every day. We are still short custodians that will make up her team, but she and downtown are bringing extra help. What I like about Mrs. Rodriguez is that day one she had a vision for our Bowie campus and how she could build a strong custodial staff to make Bowie the most fantastic campus. I feel like she's a partner. I take care of the academics and she takes care of managing her custodial team to take the burden of building cleanliness off my shoulders. She worked closely with her supervisor, Mr. Villarreal, to prioritize the needs of the campus. Clean floors, clean restrooms, graffiti and writing cleaned off restroom areas, replacing light fixtures, turning in work orders on things she takes note of on her daily inspections. I'm so thankful for Mrs. Rodriguez. We talk daily and have open two-way communication, Russell added. Scholarship opening doors for UTPB student, special to the OA from UTPB. Being a recipient of the Presidential Scholarship at UTPB has given me an incredible opportunity. UTPB Mechanical Engineering freshman Sean Curry received one of the 12 presidential scholarships awarded in fall 2022. Being a recipient of the presidential scholarship at UTPB has given me an incredible opportunity, Curry said. It allows me to attend a respected university without a financial burden. The presidential scholarship is awarded each year to incoming freshmen. The scholarship covers full tuition and designated fees, maximum of 18 hours per semester, for up to 4 years or completion of initial degree, whichever comes first. Here's how to qualify. Highly competitive SAT or ACT scores. High school grade point average on a 4.0 scale, typically placing you in the top 5% of high school senior class. Students must be admitted to UTPB prior to the scholarship deadline, which is February 15th. Curry explained he knew that getting a degree in engineering would be challenging, but receiving this competitive scholarship made him feel confident in his decision to pursue an engineering degree. My initial reaction to receiving the scholarship was gratitude and relief. Receiving the presidential scholarship solidified my decision to attend UTPB, knowing that I could get an engineering degree and do so without a hardship on my family or the need of student loans. Even though Curry is new to the engineering program, he's feeling confident he chose the correct path and looks forward to what's to come. Despite only having one engineering class to date, I enjoyed the class and the new engineering building with its large classrooms. I also appreciate how accessible the professors are and how willing they are to help. Curry added, he would encourage high school students to apply for the many scholarships offered at UTPB. The university's financial aid team makes applying for scholarship opportunities easy for current and prospective students. Be sure to learn more about the numerous scholarships offered at UTPB by visiting our scholarships website. Quick Hits, Permian Basin Gives. Permian Basin Gives has scheduled a one-day event encouraging area residents to create meaningful impact through the nonprofits that serve the community today. To register, visit at permianbasingives.org. Free tax assistance, the Ector County Northside Senior Center, 1225 Adams Avenue, has scheduled free tax assistance for seniors from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays through April 11th. Appointment is required. For more information or to make an appointment, call 432-337-5281. ASU Music Faculty Recital. Odessa College, 201 West University Boulevard, has scheduled the Angelo State University Music Faculty Recital at 11:30 a.m. today. Admission is free. Visit tinyurl.com/2p8mk46e. Hunks the Show, City Nights, 7400 West County Road, 116 Midland, has scheduled Hunks the Show from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. today. Audience members must be 21 years of age. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/MWAHNUBF. Ashes to Go. Connection Christian Church has scheduled Ashes to Go on Wednesday at the following times and locations. 7:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Kent Quick, 4350 Loop 338. 10 a.m. Market Street, 4950 East 42nd Street. Noon, the corner of Tanglewood Lane and Pembroke Street. 2:30 p.m. Memorial Center Hospital Chapel, 500 West 4th Street. 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Chick-fil-A, 3805 East 42nd Street. 7 p.m. Ecumenical Worship Service at Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane. For more information, contact the Reverend Dr. Don Weeks at drdon@odessaconnection.church or 432-248-4483. Black History Month Recognitions. The Odessa Police Department is recognizing the following officers during Black History Month. They are Captain Daryl Smith, recently celebrating his 30th anniversary with OPD. He also celebrated his birthday on February 16th. Smith was raised on the south side of Odessa. He attended Ector High School until his junior year. He ended up graduating from Permian High School. As far as his career here at OPD, he's held several roles, including serving in the Professional Standards Unit, SWAT Command, and Incident Commander. Currently, Captain Smith is part of our command team. Smith is married to his beautiful wife, Cammy. They have 6 kids and 3 grandkids. He says what he likes most about the African American culture is music, family, and religion. He also told us why he became a police officer. Smith said, after starting my career, I noticed there were not a lot of African Americans in law enforcement, and I wanted to be that positive example so that others could choose that career that I love. Detective Whitney Branch works in the OPD's CID Persons Unit. She is a great asset to OPD and the community. Her primary responsibility is over the sex offender registry. Brent was born and raised in Houston and graduated from Elsick High School. She attended Sam Houston State University and earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Criminal Justice. She is married to her strong and amazing wife, Virginia, and is currently raising two outstanding kids, Kimberly and Antonio. Brent volunteers with the Special Olympics and is also a member of the Peer Support Critical Incident Team. Black history was important to Detective Branch's upbringing as a child, and every February she would assist her mother in educating church members about the contributors of Black history. Branch emphasized that her favorite part of Black history is learning how her ancestors overcame obstacles, turmoil, and oppression. Maya Angelou best said it in her poem, "Still I Rise." You shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I rise. Black history has encouraged Detective Branch to keep fighting to be the best human being she can be, and she says her faith in God is why she is strong. Detective Branch prays that as a community, we all come together as one, not to celebrate one race or one gender, but to celebrate us all as one community. Remembering the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Sergeant Tommy Jones has worked for the City of Odessa for 26 years and has been with OPD for 18 years. When he worked for the City of Odessa, he was in code enforcement, the street department, and solid waste. Sergeant Jones is now OPD's Academy Training Sergeant. His favorite part of the job is teaching and training future generations. Jones was born and raised in Odessa and graduated from Permian High School. He is married to his amazing wife, Danielle, and they have five beautiful children together. He's another one of our hardworking officers and attributes that hard work and determination to his parents who are pictured. He loves to learn about African American culture, especially from those who came before him, Jones said. The elderly community, even without asking me, teaches me something about my heritage, and it's always something new and fascinating. The wealth and knowledge that they share with you is irreplaceable, and it should be captured and spoken about before that wonderful heritage information is gone. Jones would love to see the relationship between police and civilians grow stronger. We train the young officers and recruits to create a great relationship with the citizens because they are the ones we swear in to serve and protect. Once we retire and move on, they are the ones that will be serving and protecting our families and community, Jones said. No matter how overwhelmed his schedule becomes, juggling his numerous jobs, being a SWAT team member, a SWAT sniper, and an honor guard coordinator, Jones will always make time for others. UTPB receives more national rankings. UT Permian Basin's online programs have received more national recognition from one of the nation's top-ranking publications, U.S. News and World Report. This year's accolades mark a steady jump for several UTPB programs, which have climbed up the rankings since last year. UTPB-ranked programs include Best Online Bachelor's Programs, Best Online MBA Programs, Best Online Master's in Business Programs, excluding MBA, Best Online MBA Programs for Veterans, Best Online Bachelor's Programs for Veterans, Best Online Master's in Education Programs. UTPB's College of Business is exceptionally proud of these rankings, which placed the online Masters of Business Administration, MBA, and online Masters of Business excluding MBA, in the top third nationwide of all schools reviewed by the publication. This isn't the first time that the College of Business programs have been nationally recognized. Previous accolades have featured UTPB business programs in publications such as Forbes, Money, Fortune, and GetEducated.com, a news release said. We are thrilled to achieve these solid rankings of our programs by U.S. News and World Report, UTPB's College of Business Dean Steve Beach said in the release. I thank the faculty of the College of Business for their efforts that bring this level of recognition to our programs, the critical ingredient contributing to the quality of education for our students is the quality and commitment of the faculty. We are ranked ahead of many schools that currently are more widely known than UTPB, which is a point of pride and motivation too. These national rankings bring more recognition for all UTPB academic programs, which continue to grow. In the College of Business, that means expansion in key graduate programs offered. Our new innovative master's program in energy business and finance are added to the options available for students wanting a University of Texas Permian Basin graduate business education, adds Beach. We look forward to next year's rankings. Since 1983, U.S. News and World Report has been evaluating online programs as regionally accredited institutions. Both UTPB's online bachelor's and master's programs are among the programs surveyed. To determine the 2023 rankings, U.S. News assessed an all-time high of 1,833 online degree programs and ranked 1,763 of them. In all, six of our UTPB programs were ranked this year. Basketball games to benefit Crisis Center. The OC Sports Center at the Odessa College women's and men's basketball teams clashed tonight with the Midland College women's and men's teams to benefit the Crisis Center of West Texas. The evening games will serve as a fundraiser and supply drive for the Crisis Center of West Texas, which provides a variety of services, including shelter to survivors of domestic and sexual violence in West Texas. The evening will also feature a special encore presentation of a few of the Crisis Center's Dancing with West Texas Stars contestants. All proceeds from ticket sales to the evening games will be donated to the Crisis Center, a news release said. Bins at the front doors of the Sports Center will collect donations of supplies the Crisis Center needs. The greatest needs of donated supplies are shampoos, conditioners, body wash, lotion, toothpaste, toothbrushes, mouthwash, hair dryers, curling irons, straighteners, underwear, sports bras of all sizes, phone chargers, duffel bags, and new comfy clothing, loungewear pajamas of all sizes. Odessa College women's team, 13-8 overall, 6-4 in district, will play Midland College women's 10-15 overall, 5-6 in conference at 5:45. Odessa College men's team, 23-2 overall, 10-1 in conference, will take on the Midland College men's 21-5 overall, 7-5 in conference at 7:30. Tickets are $5 and free for OC students and staff. Andrews man dies in two-vehicle collision. The Texas Department of Public Safety reported the death of a 23-year-old Andrews man in a two-vehicle collision in Ector County. The reported fatal collision happened at 11:52 p.m. Sunday on U.S. 385, about 5 miles north of Odessa. Prime Vito Aaron Guerrero, 37, of Brownwood, was driving a 2012 Chevrolet 2500 pickup, while Juan Rodriguez, 23, of Andrews, was driving a 2001 Chevrolet Silverado pickup with passenger Auden Sane, 20, of Andrews, the DPS press release stated. DPS detailed preliminary information showed the 2012 Chevrolet was traveling on the wrong side of the roadway, southbound in the northbound lanes of U.S. 385. The 2001 Silverado was northbound on U.S. 385 and collided head-on with the 2012 Chevrolet. Rodriguez was pronounced dead at the scene by the Ector County Medical Examiner's Office. The press release stated, Guerrero and Sines were both transported to Medical Center Hospital in Odessa and both were listed in stable condition. DPS also detailed, an intoxication investigation for Guerrero is underway and intoxication manslaughter charges are pending. It was unknown if Rodriguez was wearing his seatbelt. Guerrero and Sines were both wearing their seatbelts.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.